Outrageous.
Welcome to Potagus, episode 402.5, Beauty and the Feedback.
Beast Spirits Arc Feedback. Re.
Core.
Bin.
Feb.
Rue.
Air.
E.
Nine.
Teenth.
Two.
Thel.
Zin.
Se.
Vin.
Teen.
Potagus is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and today it's just me and my fellow Trailmon, Ashley McDonald.
I didn't prepare a response to this because I was too busy listening to Hidden Figures.
You should be grateful because now that we say that we're all Trailmon, you can just go choo-choo. You don't need to think of a response.
You don't want to overplay the choo-choo. Okay, I'll be Frank and Trailmon. Woo-woo, blah, whatever. That
spoiler, that's 403, actually. Spoiler territory. First off, we just wanted to announce the winner of the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft for episode 402, which was this clip.
Stupid thick grass! I'd give anything for a lawnmower!
Sorry, Dad.
That's me! Yes!
I swear I did not notice that in the episode.
Oh yeah, I had to go back and be like, is that what you said to me? Oh my god, yeah. You said that!
And now on to answers to our fortnightly-ish question, which I somehow I find a way to mess up the doc for this feedback episode every time. So this time I forgot to write down the question. Right, okay. The question was, what beast spirit in you have you had to learn to control? I guess this question was too philosophical and out there. We didn't get many responses.
I warn you against these philosophical ones, and y'all are like, no!
I thought you were the one that proposed this one.
I think it was... It might have been me because I write all of them, but like y'all don't have to choose the philosophical one.
So the chat is talking about the Frontier dub opening, and AR Pulver mentions that the Frontier dub opening is the only good dub opening, and I have not actually seen Fusion dubbed, but I really unironically like the Fusion dub opening.
I don't know what it is.
I played it for you a couple times. You've been like, no, Jeff, no. And I think I don't like love it, but I unironically like the Data Squad opening. It's not amazing. And I haven't seen the dubbed either, but I'm pretty sure they don't switch to the second opening. They don't do a second opening like the Japanese version did. And in the Japanese, in Savers, the second opening is the best opening in Digimon. In my opinion. Harari. Anyway, so the first answer to our Fortnite-based question, what beast spirit, quote-unquote beast spirit, in you have you learned to control, comes from Twitter, Homer Neurotic on Twitter.
I think I will be the one to go for the obvious here and say, sex beast winking face.
Our new Robomon voice reads emoji, so...
Winky face.
I want to hear more about that. Like, what kind of hard sex beast did you have to learn to... Was it like... Someone else was a hard sex beast and you had to tame them? Are you
the hard sex beast?
Yeah, was it an inner hard sex beast? I'm trying to remember, what was that actually? What was the... That came from our transgarbling, but I can't remember what the source line was. Our cat is now just, like, philosophically looking out the window.
He's still philosophically looking out over San Francisco, being like, why am I here?
What is cat?
What darkness is coming upon me?
we used to have a tree right outside the window that he would stare at and look for birds. But the tree isn't there anymore. And there aren't birds.
Not as many birds.
I guess he hopes for birds.
He definitely hopes for birds.
It's an existential crisis. He hopes that birds will come back one day.
Yeah.
The next response comes from XXX Mist XXX.
When I was younger, I had a tendency to speak without mulling over how my words would affect the people around me. I've definitely learned to think before I speak.
That's a good sentiment. I think that's something that a lot of people are coming to that conclusion these days.
It's good, but also it is really hard in conversations to like say anything at all if you like have to think about it a little bit, and then like everybody else just keeps talking and you're like, now I've missed my opportunity. That's how I feel. Maybe I'm just bad at people.
I think like the core sentiment they're getting at here is just that, like, it's worth, you know, being conscientious of how what you're saying affects people and not just be like, well, because I think there's like a kind of like a bro slash STEM attitude, like math and science kind of person attitude of like, I'll just be honest. Like that's, you know, like that's what media always tells you. Just be honest, just be yourself. But like, but there's also an aspect of like, you need to be conscious of how other people feel. And to some degree, just being honest is an excuse to not care about people's feelings. And so like,
true.
And there's a lot of, I don't know, like in like tech Twitter denouncing people's emotional reactions to things as invalid. Cause you're like, but like those reactions are just as valid. And it's also seems similar to the whole like reacting to comedians and comedians just try to be offensive for the sake of being offensive and don't consider how the words they're saying hurt other people. I don't know. I think it's a hotbed issue in recent times. And I think learning to, you know, think about how your actions affect other people is it's a good sentiment. We also have a voicemail answer from May, one of the hosts of Lost in Translation Month. Here is their voicemail.
Easter in my life that I've had to control and have in control were my mental illnesses. And sometimes I have a pretty alright handle on them and I'm able to cope. But, and sometimes, just like Takuya, when I'm a bit out of control, what I can rely on a lot are my friends. And they really help me. But sometimes I help myself. And sometimes I don't.
Thank you for sharing that, May. Talking about mental illness can be really tough to be open about and honest about. So I really appreciate that. And
I mean, it's so hard because people will be like, it's not a real illness. And it's like, what?
Yeah. People definitely have that annoying stigma. And yeah, friends are important to help with that. And it's also hard to, it's a reinforcing cycle, I think, because having mental illness interferes with having friends, and friends are a good way to get out of having mental illnesses. And so, yeah, it can be a downward spiral. And I don't really have much advice on that because I'm really terrible at making and keeping friends. But that's why I have Ashley.
I'm good at keeping the friends. I'm bad at making
them. Yeah. One nice thing about having a long-term relationship is that there's less necessity for us to have lots of other friends. Like we are each other's best friends, and
yeah,
but it definitely is like we definitely should be doing more to have friends, I think, and we struggle with it a lot.
I mean, there are times when I'm like, I should invite my coworkers to my apartment, but it's like none of them live near me. Like they live.
It's also really hard to set up precedents. Like if you have a precedent for doing that, then yeah, that's totally natural. But like to start that is really tough. And yeah, I assume none of my coworkers actually listen to this, but I have lots of coworkers that I really want to be better friends with. And like, just like, you know, getting the ball rolling in that regard is really tough. And yeah, friends are hard, which is a kind of a topic we address in 403, which we recorded yesterday, at least in how the upcoming Frontier episodes handle the idea of friendship with a little bit more nuance than Adventure and other Shonen/Kids series that just are like, friends equals good person, no friends equals bad person. Because in the real world, people who don't have friends can still be good people. Anyway, that's it for voicemails. So, next topic. Ashley keeps questioning my editorial decisions.
I do question your editorial decisions.
She knows something is coming, and I'm not revealing what it is, because it'll be a surprise. So first off, we have feedback about the Pottage Bowl 2017, which was our coverage of the second Pottage Bowl, the second Digibowl, 2002 Digibowl, the one that was between Tamers and 02. First bit of feedback came from Mark on With the Will. And Ashley, can you read his comment?
Okay. It was clear Terry Bradshaw knew nothing of Digimon, nor did he overly care about it himself, but he actually tried rather hard to be energetic and give an air of actually giving effort and caring, since the people watching would. I can appreciate and respect someone giving real effort, since it's insanely standard for people to just go, eh, when they're doing this type of promotional stuff. It's true, I do.
I thought of this a lot, and I'm like, on the one hand, I do really appreciate that, because, like, yeah, there's not much of a standard for this. Like, you could just phone it in, put zero effort into it, and probably still scrape by, still get the paycheck and everything. But, like, it's also, like, the amount of effort to put it in to do, like, what he did probably was, like, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, or like, just, like, the amount of caring was, like, such a minimal amount of caring. But we also, like, I don't know. I don't really watch sports or Terry Bradshaw's commentating, but he was a good performer. Like, he was an entertaining performer in those segments.
I mean, I think he's actually more energetic in this Digibowl stuff than he is when he's, like, giving real analysis. Because he has to be all, like, serious, stern person when he's, like, blah, 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 this Pittsburgh Steelers are better than the Philadelphia Eagles or whatever.
This whole discussion reminds me that I meant to actually pay attention to his commentary analysis for the Super Bowl because of the Digibowl, but I totally zoned out and just studied Japanese instead. I think study Japanese like and play Fire Emblem.
During the Super Bowl, you were trying to listen to him?
I told myself that I would beforehand, and then when it was actually on TV, I was like, eh. I don't remember it at all. All I remember is his commercials with the Tide stain.
Oh.
I still have my tweet about that, which was like, in case people didn't see it, it was like...
You should have tagged him in it. We should bring it up to him. Be like, yeah, Terry, totally. Do you remember?
Terry, yeah, Terry Senpai. Terry Senpai noticed us. But I was like, in a recent Super Bowl, I had Terry Bradshaw struggle with removing a stain, but he can never remove the stain that is the Digibowl from his career. It's a pretty good summary. And also, we had a comment from Chris McFeely on With the Will, and he mentioned that he, like, unironically loves the Digibowl, even though he was not able to experience it firsthand. He had to hear about it via the internet because he was from the UK and didn't have it aired, and that, like, really appreciates that Bradshaw gave the best that he could. And he also said, in addition to just being silly fun, it's a wonderful little capsule of what Fox Kids was like, breaking the quote-unquote fourth wall of its shows to have the characters do the links and bumpers and such like, creating this fun little quote-unquote world that viewers were a part of, a fairly common feature of Saturday morning weekday cartoon programming blocks that made them stand out in the schedule, a unique couple of hours where the kid audience got an experience of their own, which is something that's become lost as time has gone on and those things have ceased to be. Yeah, it's a good point. I kind of forgot about all those things. I think there really was an era where, like, I think because of the competition between the multiple kids morning blocks, they had to, you know, like, the content they could get was one aspect, which was probably hard to get better content, but they could, you know, try as hard as they could to make all the other stuff outside of the content more engaging, more interesting. And I think Fox Kids probably did that pretty, I mean, from what I recall, I don't really remember anything like that from Kids WB or anything like that.
I don't, but it's I don't know. It's just like, it's just the strangest little time capsule to have.
Oh yeah.
So weird.
And Kristen Feely also commented on our 017 episode page and mentioned petition for Pottages to run their own Digibowl 2018 next year, Tamers versus Frontier. Which is an interesting idea. Oh no, oh no, someone's hacking our computer!
It's the Poddigious Fortnightly Answer with your host, Terry Bradshaw. Hey, look at me. I get to answer a question on the Poddigious. I'm Terry Bradshaw. I bet you didn't know I was keeping up with the Digimon after I hosted those two Digibowls. I just love the fourth season of Digimon. I love all the characters. Agunimon, Kumeimon, Kazamon, Nemon, Bookmon, Louibomon, and my favorite, Beatlemon. Haha, bet you didn't think I could get that one, but I did. Hoo-ah! But now let's get to that question. What was the base spirit in me that I needed to learn how to control? Well, that's very simple. It's the base spirit of being way too into football. It can be a real beast. I know my wife doesn't like it whenever I mention all these football stats, like the stats of Brent Moss from the Miami Dodgers, or his famous rivalry with Patton Maxwell from the Baltimore Blue Jays. Hey, guess what? I made those up. You all thought they were real. I was making them up. Hee-haw! Well, anyways, guys, I'm Terry Bradshaw, and this has been my time here. I love the Poddigious. Keep up the good work. I'm out.
The Poddigious Fortnightly Answer is brought to you by Davis's Noodle Cup.
Oh, yes.
It was his lifelong dream, apparently.
That was amazing. That was from our regular Davis voicemail answer. It's just pure genius.
Yas queen, yeah.
I think that's the new height of the podcast. I think we fit it. We could just finish.
That was a really well coordinated.
Yeah, it was a really good response. The Digible to the Fortnightly question. It was everything.
But also, like, Podigible 2018. I don't know. We got a whole year to think about. We'll see how, like, dead we are.
Like, I can get some contacts from Terry. Yeah, I mean, he's done so many.
I think we just have to tweet at him.
I thought having like voice act, like people like Jeff Nimoy and Brian Beacock on the show would be intimidating. Having to speak to Terry Bradshaw would be like, oh my god, I'm terrified.
Be like,
of you.
It's fine. You're a legendary quarterback. Whatever. Digimon though.
We should show him Vokemon.
He'd be like
bro football really commentator to... Digimon. Yeah. He's like, I also have a volcano on my back. This is a episode 4-3 thing. Sorry if you haven't watched the episode yet. Which one is it? 24, I think. I think it's 24.
I don't know. They all blend together.
They did. No, they don't. I mean, those don't. Those actually blended together less, but it's just hard going back to the 10 through 19 now. Anyway. And now on to feedback about Frontier itself. Now, we put the Digibowl behind us. No more Digibowl.
No more.
I'm checking time. Okay, we're still good on time. The first comment, which I really wanted to read, completely devoid of context. People can figure out their own context. It was a anon ask on Tumblr, and it just said, Digimon don't have genitals, thank you. And a flat mouth face.
What was this in response? Was this in response to the...
I kind of don't want to answer.
Cosmon.
I don't want to answer with a response shot. To. No, I'm pretty sure it's in response to... It was a post I don't think got much traction, I don't think it got much engagement, but it was in the episode with Koji and Gotsumon, episode 10, I think that was, when Gotsumon has like a magnifying glass he's carrying around, and there's one shot where the magnifying glass is hanging in his crotch.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think we want to see that magnify Gotsumon. And then someone was offended that we were implying that it had genitals, but... next,
I mean, we were. We're
offensive.
I didn't do anything.
Next piece of feedback came from Ember Moto on the episode 401.5 page, and they asked, will the fan fiction about Elecmon be made available to everyone? It sounds interesting and I would love to read it. And I forget in what context we actually mentioned it on the podcast. I think in 401.5 we hadn't finished writing it yet. And then 402, time is confusing. I think this is the first episode. Well, the first episode we didn't mention in 403 recording. So this is the first one we can actually talk about it now that it's out.
Yes.
So it's out. It's good. I was not involved in writing it at all.
Jeff
and I
didn't
agree
do anything.
Good. I wish they had consulted me.
Do you?
A little bit. No, it's really good. In case people missed the original prompt for this in 401.5, it is a... I forget who it was. Was it Jackie?
It was Jackie.
So Zoe's my favorite, asked for a fanfic about the backstory of the Elecmon in the opening that has a scar and just a bunch of Elecmon leading like a tribe of Elecmon and is never mentioned in the show. It was a really good read. And I don't really read much fanfic, but
I don't read much.
It's pretty great. And Evermoto also mentioned... Oh, yeah. They said, thinking about it, I would like to hear your thoughts on the opening as it has very little to do with the show. And I'm only mentioning this here because I want to get in that deeper once we've actually looked at it more closely. And I want to also talk about the ending, but we did not have time to prep for that this episode. So I'm thinking we'll do it in a future feedback episode or a main episode topic or something. Because I think there's really interesting stuff in the ending, too. That's not in the English ending, because the English ending is just playing clips of the opening, I think. Anyway, this is kind of a pre-feedback. This is... in response to a post that I wrote about future 403, it was a screenshot of Mercurymon, Ranamon, and Arbormon reporting to Shroomon, and the caption was like, "Ah, yes, the three fundamental elements of nature: wood, steel, and water."
Yeah.
And it was a mediocre joke, And a couple people pointed out, so Xanastrad on Tumblr and Edgar Retina on Twitter both pointed out that, like, those seem like it's a joke, but like those seem silly to us from a Western perspective, but from a Chinese perspective, those are classical elements in Chinese philosophy. So yeah, like apparently the five core elements of Chinese philosophy are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And actually, I mean, but they call Mercuryman steel, not metal. So I wonder if that's just a dub thing. I'm not sure what they say in Japanese.
Don't know.
yeah. I tried to break down where the different elements of the ten different frontier elements come from. So I had there's the standard avatar for water, earth, fire, air. The ones that clearly come from Chinese, like steel and wood. Kingdom Hearts ones, like light and dark. And then I don't know where lightning comes from. Lightning is just like, we need another one. And it is pretty natural.
Yeah.
Pretty natural. It's pretty, I always thought it was a little BS that avatar was like, it's a part of fire.
Like, oh yeah, it's like a extension of being good at fire. Yeah.
I always thought that was a little bit of a stretch.
I mean, it's a hot thing. I don't know.
there's heat going on down there. Yeah. Actually, this is something that you mentioned on Twitter. And I was like, Ashley, I'm going to pull this in and have you mentioned on the show.
Oh, what did I say? Unrelated, but disappointed it wasn't brought up in today's podcast recording. One of the two Kanmon having Kazu's voice is sadly perfect. It's true.
I guess you don't have anything more to say to that aside from like, yes, that is.
It's like, oh my God, Kazu's broiness in a toucan.
It transcends corporal forms.
Yeah.
I also had some auto feedback. What was this about? This was, oh right, I mentioned in 402 that, because we talked about the names of the beast spirits and how they, a lot of the Japanese names don't reference adventure, and the English ones do, like Burning Greymon, Kendagurumon, Metal Kabutarimon, and Korikakumon. Korikakumon doesn't really fit the mold because it doesn't capitalize the I, like the other ones do.
Oh.
So that's, anyway.
I mean, it's clearly going for
that. Right, I think it's clearly going for that. And I think I said I liked how those things are a neat callback that don't take away from adventure. Sorry, they don't take away from people who don't know what they are, haven't seen adventure. They aren't hurt by it. People who do know adventure are like, cool, that's a nice callback. And similarly for the things like Seraphimon, Sorcerermon, mirroring things of adventure, and Waymon, the raft, all those things that are mirroring it. But I wanted to mention how like those things that mirror it, like to us as adults, they seem like obvious things. They seem like, yeah, of course Burning Greymon is just Greymon. Of course Kendagurumon is just Gurumon. But I don't know, maybe I was just weird, but as a kid in eighth grade while I was watching, no, seventh grade while I was watching this, I felt smart for catching those things. I mean, like, I probably wasn't, like, I'm not saying I was smart. I'm saying those are the kind of details that as a kid feel subtle enough that it makes people feel smart. I don't think any of the kids who caught it were smart. I think most people probably caught it if they had seen adventure, and they didn't catch it, they didn't see adventure. So it wasn't actually a thing about smartness or intellect or anything. But I think it's like, I don't know. I think there's something to that. I think there's something pretty cool about media that's able to make its consumers feel smart, even if the kind of engagement they're having with it isn't really proving any intellect, but it just makes people feel smart. And I think that's what those callbacks did. However, we had a counterpoint from I pronounce it, Zane the Second on Twitter, and they said, I feel that compositions like Burning Greymon make it harder for newcomers who, for example, never heard of Greymon to get into the show. And now our cat is climbing onto Ashley's laptop.
And how you doing? I don't know. I don't foresee that somebody would stop watching the show because they don't know who Greymon is in a name.
No, I mean, I we've had similar discussions in terms of, like, anyway, I don't think it would be that they would stop watching the show. It would just be, like, a thing that adds to their confusion. You know what I mean? If you catch a random episode and they're, like, the longer a name is, the more confusing it is. You know what I mean? And, like, if it seems like it's a callback and you don't know what the callback is, you know, like, having an adjective, having a modifier and not knowing what's a modifier of, you might assume that it's supposed to be something you know about the season. Like, if you see Burning Greymon, you might assume Greymon is an important character in this season and I don't know it. I'm missing something. I can't fully appreciate it.
I really think that this is like a view that is undermining how children just watched shows, and like, at least I was never like, oh my god, I missed something, I can't watch this, because I don't fully, like, you're just kind of like, whatever, I missed something, this is the 2000s. Like,
it's definitely true for the stuff that you stuck with, but I think there's definitely stuff that I tried to watch and was like, I'm just confused, I don't want to bother following, because I'm just so confused. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, this counterpoint, I think, was from someone who, I don't think this person was one of those people who didn't know who Grandma was. So I take it more seriously if it was someone, you know, if there were actually experiences of people saying, I didn't know who Grandma was and I was confused and I stopped watching because I was confused. But as it stands, it's just a conjecture, which is, you know, similar
Pixel's
to our
just
conjecture.
Like about to get, yeah, like cat. Tangled in Jeff's mic setup.
I hope with our, what's it called, shock mount, this isn't affecting things too much, but you never know. He's a brat.
He's like, I want to put my head through this. Let me see.
Let's see if giving him this cushion chair.
He was doing really well there for like 10 minutes.
Anyway, next comment came from Breezy Blue on the 402 YouTube page. Hey, Ashley.
Hey.
Did you know that we have a YouTube page where you can watch all of our episodes? Not all of our episodes. All of our new episodes. Not The Venture is here too.
Yeah.
All of our new episode. Did you know about that? Cool.
Yes. Pixel, don't tear down my mic.
Someone in the chat mentions that as a kid they were more upset that Greymon wasn't gray, which is totally valid.
I mean, yeah, why is he called Greymon? What?
I think I saw a speculation recently, actually, that people assume that it's like a messing up of the word great.
Oh. Well, that would make more sense than Greymon, to be like...
Anyway, sorry, we got interrupted. Breezy Blue on the 402 YouTube comments said... Sorry, this was in response to us talking about how Kalmaramon, I think, reminded me of Ursula. And they said, fun fact, the German voice actress for Ranamon / Kalmaramon also voices Ariel in the Japanese
German
dub. That's pretty cool. Also not... It's kind of the opposite point of
what... Which Uber Alles.
Anyway, and then XXX, I can't pronounce XXX.
XXX.
I almost want to say XXX.
You gotta emphasize the capital X's.
Okay. XXX. Missed, I'm not doing that again. On the 402 episode page, they mentioned that they remembered the Trailmon race episode being more fun to watch than it actually was, but in reality it was just meh, which is that kind of... I was expecting those episodes to be really fun, wacky spoiler episodes, or filler episodes, not spoiler episodes. What's a spoiler episode? I was expecting them to be wacky filler episodes. And I didn't want to get on this topic, but I kind of disagree with them being filler episodes. So I think Digimon doesn't... Applying
I
filler
definitely
to Digimon
think they're filler episodes.
But filler, like... filler.
Oh, let's have a philosophical debate about filler.
Filler, yes. I think, makes much more sense as a term to describe series that have... I thought about this before. Hope I don't go too far down that have one goal they're trying to strive towards. So a series like Bleach or Naruto or One Piece, cat's making weird noises, they have like one primary goal, which is to mirror the content from the manga.
Yes.
And they can't do that at the speed that a weekly episode of a TV anime comes out. So they have to add filler episodes to still have an episode once a week, which is what they want to keep the, you know, young audience engaged and, you know, like, know to show up every week. Yes. So they add the filler so it can keep that and not diverge from the source material like other anime have done, but they don't, like, those shows are planned to go to run for like decades or whatever, so that's why they can't really diverge as much. But something like Digimon, there is no core principle behind, there's no core like plot they're trying to...
Okay, but like, you told me that Lotteria sponsored that one episode. How does that not make it
I did not
filler?
Say that, actually. I said that there was a promotion, and it seems like this episode seems like it could have maybe been like, but what I also, that was a different episode, but my main point is just that, like, I don't think that like the content of that episode, it's not like Digimon's main purpose is plot and those are episodes that diverge from plot, so therefore it's clearly filler. It's like, I feel like those episodes are,
I feel like,
are what are, but those episodes are like the core Digimon to me just as much as the plot episodes are.
No. I feel like the Trailmon episode, though, I can't remember any plot relevance to what happened.
I'm saying plot isn't the core thing.
What,
that
but Digimon character wasn't either. Like
no, but wackiness was like wacky hijinks.
And that's not no.
Like I just don't think that because some of the arc villains, you know, some of the characters like Arbomon and Grumblemon or whatever don't show up in those episodes, doesn't mean that it's, oh, it's just filler. Because it could be removed without, like, episodic shows that are episodic by nature mm-hmm. always have things that you could remove without affecting things around them. That doesn't make those filler. Like, if something is more filler-ish, if things are more episodic by nature, then everything approaches things that by other metrics in other shows seem like filler. I'm wording everything much more complicatedly than I could.
Such but, an academic.
I'm like the most amateur-ish, vaguely academically minded person. Because at least academics can word things, like can articulate things. They do it more verbosely than they could. But I just lack the vocabulary. So anyway, I don't know how I got on that tangent.
You're not going to convince me that the Tromon episode isn't filler. So.
Because I almost feel like you could, from a different angle, look at the plot stuff and say that's a filler for the wacky hijinks. Say that, like, wacky hijinks are Digimon. No. And the stuff with, like...
What, of the dub, maybe?
I think, you know, like, the main premise of the show in both versions is, like, you know, episodic stuff.
I think it merely proves that Frontier is a mess. It doesn't know what it wants to be.
And I guess it also doesn't come at a point in the season that really feels like it would need filler. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't come at a point where it's like... Like, the Royal Knights arc, I'm sure we'll get to it, and we'll have lots of opinions when we get to it. But from what I recall, a lot of people think of it as filler. Think of it as, like, they had a very tightly plotted season up until Truvimon, and then needed to pad episodes. So mm-hmm. It has, like, a very repeated... Like, the conflict so is a very repeated...
So Truvimon is the true villain.
What?
What?
Like, they take down Truvimon before the end of the season.
Right.
So, like...
But so Truvimon's the only thing that ever mattered.
No, I'm just saying that, like, they had everything tightly plotted up until that point, and then everything after that wasn't as tightly plotted... So then people speculate that it's, like, adding filler to, you know, hit the episode count. And I don't know. Like, I mean, like, the Blackwell Grammon episodes have a similar structure. And are they filler? They are repeating things.
No, they're just bad.
I just feel like they're poorly conceived and poorly plotted. Okay,
Blackwell Grammon episodes where they just fight him over and over again, that's just, like, bad shonen.
Yeah. Okay, we shouldn't dwell too much on this thing. It's a total tangent. But anyway, and finishing the comments from XXX Mist. In regards to the human versus beast spirit subject, I agree with Asher that it's weird that the beast spirits are inherently stronger than the human ones. I suppose you could say that there's some form of trade-off with the human spirits having more intellect or something. But that's untrue since the kids are human and can still think in beast spirit form. That would be... I wish we could have seen that or something. Like that they're unable to... think as strategically in beast form or something. I think the only trade-off they have is that in beast form they can't do the scanning thing, so they turn back into human form scan. But
it's kind of weird. But I mean, there is an implication that maybe not that they can't think, but that they like they're not in control initially.
Right, but only in their like trying to get like after that point, once sure. They like learn to control them, whatever, then they're. There isn't really a trade-off. It's just, they are stronger. And, like, I mean, Grumblemon and Gigasmon definitely switch back and forth tactically. Like, yeah. He definitely switches back just to, like, use his hammers.
Right.
And then switches back to Grumblemon and, like, or whatever.
Dig or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're Kazemon, which is wind, and then Zephyr, which is a light breeze? You're just wind and wind. More wind and wind all the time.
Because she becomes an older woman. An older, yeah, beastly woman.
She has boobs, then. I know. But she boobs has boobs as Kazemon, too. Kazemon. I just said that weirdly.
Kazemon.
I'm Terry Bradshaw hey now.
Ember Moto on the 402 episode page said, so they left comments about each episode that we watched. So this is a comment about episode 11. Can you read it? My throat's dying.
Can I read it? Yes. So if any Digimon can just stumble upon and then use the spirits, why are the kids even needed? Couldn't any Digimon get the spirits and then learn how to control them? It is clear that the kids have to learn how to control the beast spirits, as both Koji and Taki, yes, call him Taki, had trouble with theirs in the beginning. We know that Digimon can have both a regular and a beast spirit, and that they can be chosen as legendary warriors because of Grumblemon. So why were the children brought to the digital world? Couldn't Digimon worthy of being legendary warriors have been found? I mean, yes. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I don't know if we actually get an explanation later on, or if it's just fan conjecture about where the evil legendary warriors come from. But regardless of whether it's, you know, canon material or fan conjecture, I don't think it's Digimon that have turned into them. Because they stayed that form permanently. They never, like, revert, but we never see them revert back. They also never seem to need to revert back like the kids do. The kids after a fight seem to need to revert back to preserve energy or whatever.
But just like, okay, even, it's just like, how are there not Digimon, like, how are there not Digimon that are like, I want to go find the legendary spirit warrior, I want to turn into it, and they're just not constant fighting for it, like, right, that doesn't make
so
any
easy,
sense.
They're so easy to just get and then equip, like, they're not, it's not like there is, like, it would make sense if something about Ofanimon's connection to the Digivices meant they could unlock some mechanisms that had them in hibernation or something like that, but they're just there, and they're just, you know, for the most part, most of them are just could have been picked up by any Digimon. And I think that maybe the reason people... Is there a verb form of conjecture? Conject? the reason most people conclude, I think, that they don't have base Digimon forms that they have spirit evolved into or from is because I think when they're defeated and they're scanned, they turn into a Digi-Egg, just like the other Digimon they fight. Mm-hmm. Unlike, they don't have a base form that once the spirit is taken away, they turn into. Which makes sense.
Right.
And I guess there's some... The fan conjecture comes into, like, how then? Like, I think people assume that Tribumon, like, takes a spirit and somehow, like, makes a Digimon out of it. But I'm pretty sure the eggs are the eggs of their human spirit form, so I don't know if it really ever makes sense.
Nope. K-Pixel agrees.
Ran by us.
AR.
He's a beast spirit.
Yeah.
He is a beast spirit.
He's a beast. AR Pulver in the chat says, other question. How are there not more Digimon fighting back against the destruction of their world, even without spirits?
Well, you see, because there aren't any good Digimon aside from humans, because humans need to come in and be the best ones.
Right.
I mean, I mean,
it's true that all the things we are shown make the Digimon very passive about the destruction of the world, and even, like, somewhat complicit in it by being a fan club for Ranamon, like...
Yeah, that, I'm still really frustrated with that, about how it's never addressed that, like, the fact that she has a fan club despite destroying the world is, like, super sexist, but anyway,
But she's pretty, though.
The thing that doesn't make sense is that, like, there are clearly leaders in this world that are fighting it back against Tribumon, like Ofanimon, Seraphimon, and the amount of forces they have gathered to lead a resistance is just Sorcerermon, I guess.
Just Sorcerermon! Sorcerermon's like, I love you!
Yeah,
I love you, Seraphimon!
It's not so much a resistance as it is, like, two lovers just hanging out in a castle. Yeah, I mean... Oh, and AR Pulver also mentions how they ran into a Gallantmon, and
we're just like, nah!
they're really just looking at it from a, like, on its own terms, in-universe plot terms, there should be a resistance. There should be a resistance to Tribumon that has been going on in this world for a while. That's a hard thing to play around with and to, like, fit into other plot, but, like, yeah, probably should have been there. Just looking at it from a, like, what makes the most sense. Not that things that make the most sense make the best stories, necessarily. But,
I mean, it just falls apart so, like, automatically.
Right. It does. Yeah, that's a quote. Like, you don't want to be a slave to having things be the most literally realistic. But also, if things fall apart, as soon as you put any thought into them, that also distracts from the story. So, yeah. And it's a shame because, like, this is the season that it's hyped up as having the most coherent and realistically believable digital world. So, like, every one of these things, it's like...
Is it argued to be the most coherent or just the most, like, interesting and, like, it makes sense that they live this way rather than the way that they do in Adventure, which is, like, here's a random restaurant in the middle of nothing?
Yeah. I think that's it. I think it's just, like, people describe it as fleshed out. And... It still has... It's a shame that, like, there is no digital world that is just, like, actually makes sense. Like, that actually feels like a real world or anything.
Right.
And that's a shame. On the one hand, I guess Digimon survived as a franchise without that because they had the real world to be anchored to. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess. But then Coconut Buyer in the chat asks, oh my God, why don't the Digimon take a Trailmon back to the human world? Which is true. It seems really easy to do that.
Huh. Yeah, that there are so many holes.
Don't think about it, you guys.
AR Pulver clarifies that he describes Frontiers of Gibraltar as having the best mythology, not the best world.
Sure, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. It's just like
it does make sense to me. I don't really love the mythology. I was thinking about this recently. How it's like, oh, so there was this one conflict, and then. Someone came in and then restored peace, and then there was conflict again, and then someone came in and restored peace, and those people got corrupted. And like it's like the same story over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to think of how it actually goes. It's like there was a war between the beast and human spirit, or the beast and human Digimon. Then yes. Lucimon came in, made peace. Then Lucimon was corrupted.
Yes.
And then the legendary warriors had to come in and take down Lucimon, and then they put into then legend. And it's also weird because like the legendary warriors then didn't rule. They put into
power.
Ruling power, the three angel, the true.
They wanted to have a judicial executive.
We see how that works out.
Yeah, they were trying.
No, but I mean, in real life, I mean, Trubimon has some pretty clear parallels.
Yeah, Trubimon.
Anyway, and yeah, and then Trubimon gets corrupted, much like Lucimon, and then I guess then like the kids are the next wave of legendary warriors that come in and wipe them out, but like. I guess it only repeats twice, but it is... And then I guess that's supposed to be the
point. But it's kind of like, why did you have two layers? Like, I guess Lucimon is eventually going to be a thing that becomes... Is that what the Royal Knights arc is about? Or, like, why tell me the two-layered story?
I'm just staring. I can't spoil anything. I'm just not going to answer. Lucimon is a character in Cross Wars.
Yep. Okay.
That's all I can say.
You need to chill out, cat.
The cat has returned to his chair and is sitting peacefully. But
he like slid the chair into my mic. So.
Hopefully that didn't disturb things too much. Some more comments from Embermoto. They mention in response to episode 13, how do the kids know? That's the one with Rothman. How do the kids know to care for the Digi-Egg? Have they ever encountered Digi-Eggs before? And I just want to highlight this because. That's something that I don't think a lot of people it's not easy to notice, and it's whenever they defeat a Digimon, a Digi-Egg appears and flies off to wherever Digi-Eggs go, so presumably they've at least seen Digi-Eggs, not like actually interacted with them before, but they've seen them. Yeah,
I mean, I think if we you know any basic things about eggs, you know you keep them warm and then they hatch stuff. Come on.
Yeah, if you've seen that arc of Pokemon, you know you're supposed to carry it around for a season.
You know how animals work? Like,
I'm just saying Pokemon did this. That's how Togepi.
Yeah.
It's basically Togepi.
It's basically Togepi, exactly.
Okay, and now on to Ask Podigus / I can never decide if this segment has / if this segment has a title or if it's just Q&A, just questions. We got a couple questions this time, which we tried to get answers from Ash and Andrew via email so they could chime in a little bit, which is fine. I just hard to coordinate opening my email and the Google Doc at the same time. Anyway, first question came from CC Takato on Twitter, and you can ask us questions on Twitter. We'll save them in the doc for the next episode. You can ask us on any social media. Comments
in this live chat.
You can just sing Linkin Park lyrics loud enough that they come questions.
Oh my gosh, you guys, you don't even know.
That the reference will make sense once you listen to 403. Anyway, CC Kaido asked, so which season of Digimon do you think holds up better, 02 or Frontier? And we're going to read Ash and Andrew's responses first while Ash and I think about it. Asher just replied 02.
He's not going to change that answer.
But also, like, no clarifying. No, just like 02.
He's like, 02 is my favorite. Stop asking me.
But he also really loves Frontier, so I don't know. Andrew, on the other hand, said, ha 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 ha. Wait, no, let me rub up on this.
Okay.
IDK, FRO2N tier. Stop making me choose between my children.
Then Andrew actually clarified, 02 because the characterization is better, but the plot is kind of messy at times, but Frontier because it doesn't stray too far from whatever this plot is, but underutilizes its character's potential overall. So I guess he's saying that, like, 02 has better characterization and bad plot, Frontier has better plot and bad characterization. I agree with that.
I agree. What? Frontier has bad plot.
No, he's saying Frontier has good plot, bad characterization.
Right, I agree with this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, I'm trying to think if, like, Adventure, if 02's characterization, I don't know if I'd hang my hat on characterization being its, like, redeeming quality. It's more just, like, there are things I love about 02. I admit that the series has a ton of flaws and is really messy to watch, but it has many aspects that I really like. Some of those are characterization, mostly, like, Ken. And I do...
Just kidding!
No, I like Black Rock Greymon with a lot more reservations than Ken. Ken, I like with right. No reservations. Black Rock Greymon, I like with the reservation, like, you need to be accommodating of, like... I'm trying to think of, like, ridiculously trying to be profound philosophical statements. You need to be, like, okay with that kind of humor. And, like...
You needed to be the person who liked Linkin Park and Evanescence when you were 12 at that time.
No, I was not. I was definitely not.
Oh, it's more you just like, suck.
It's really easy to listen to Black Rock words and write it off as being completely ridiculous. Like, it just sounds ridiculous. If you, like, look past the absurdity at what those lines are actually getting at, they are actually fairly profound questions with non-obvious answers that are worded. Like, but then if you're just like, where's a heart?
Wait,
is it here? I forget exactly what his conversation with Agumon is. How I
Agumon!
We're all Terry today. That conversation is ridiculous. But anyway, and also just, I thought Black Rock Greymon was the coolest at the time, mostly probably because I looked past his words into his heart.
Okay. Yeah, I think in the end I'd have to say 02 just because I think what I like out of most stories is just being ridiculously attached to one or more characters. And I mean, in 02, I've got TK, man.
Oh boy,
still love the TK.
I don't think you love TK that much when we're actually watching it.
I think you misremember then.
Anyway, yeah, and I would say what I used to think of as the most redeeming aspect of Frontier was the plot, and now that we've watched, you know, 20 episodes that we've podcasted on and 30 episodes that we've recorded on and not released yet, that, yeah, I don't know if the plot really stands out so much anymore. It definitely is still, like, I think it definitely still has the most well-plotted, like, stringing along of the kids up to the battle with Trubimon. Like, it does that better than any other season Digimon does, but it's just, like, in the end, that thing it tries to do isn't that great. And it doesn't do it so well that it's like, oh, this is totally worth doing that thing. Like,
yeah.
It is as much as it is, like, an easier thing to do, what Adventure did with the, like, you know, have, like, 13 episode arcs and, you know, just have, like, be completely contained to those 13 episodes and then, like, have a new clean slate at the end of each one. That's an easier thing to do. And so you can write it off as being a cheaper thing to do, whatever. And, like, not as ambitious of a plotted story, but in the end it's like, I don't know if that is hurt, because, like, it handles the characterization through that story much better. So, like, whereas Frontier has a more, I don't know, it also, I think, just works better for viewers, because, like, if you have, like, a 40 episode long arc, like, it's harder to get involved in than adventure, where like if you're in the middle, if you get in the middle of an arc, you can, you know, not know what's going on for the next five episodes. Then it resets, and then like, you know, you get in the middle of the Final Island arc, you don't know what's going on. But then by the time they get to server and deal with Edamame, like you're on the same page, kind of.
And I mean, isn't that arguably what we discussed about like One Piece and 403? And like, kind of what is bad about like Bleach in the beginning. The arcs weren't like super terribly long. It was like the first 16 episodes are arguably an arc. Then the next like 30 are an arc. Yeah. But then after that, it starts to spiral out of control, and you're just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I guess adventure structure is a lot more like One Piece. And I think One Piece handles it really, really well. Because, like, adventure's arcs don't really do much between. Like, there is still the building up of the characterization and the character's powers, but there isn't really much building up of the world they're in or the villains they're fighting. It's basically just they beat one, okay, now there's a new villain. It's not really related to the other one. And at the end, they try and pull it together and be like, oh, yeah, they were all kind of working for these guys. Mm-hmm. But, like, no, they really weren't. whereas One Piece, the way One Piece bridges arcs is, I think, like, its best aspect. Like, it handles self-contained stories and then has stories bridging those self-contained stories and then stories bridging those bridges between, like, it has multiple layers of, like, you know, there's the intermediate stories between arcs that string them from arc to arc. But then there's the, like, global world scale conflicts going on that like spans, you know, like there's something that happens, I can't remember which arc it is, but like, you know, something that happens to characters elsewhere at the end of one arc that doesn't actually pay off until like, I feel like 5 years in the series running time later. Mm. And stuff like that there was like a character's introduced, I think it was like 2 years into the serialization that wasn't, you know, expounded on until like 10 years later. Mm-hmm. And I don't even, like, you could probably listen to this, like, have no idea which ones I'm referring to because there are multiple ones of each of those. Whereas, yeah. Anyway, sorry. The more the podcast goes on, the more we get into tangents about One Piece.
I don't know enough about One Piece to tangent with
you about that. I'm just trying to sell you on it.
Oh, you know I don't have time for this.
It's really short. You can get into it in like a
week. Totally.
The second question from CC Takata, which we have to rush through now because we only have 6 minutes left. How differently would Tamers have turned out if Rika chose Daramon as her partner instead of Renamon? Asher's answer to this was, I don't even remember who Daramon is. And also, Renamon rocks. So the season would have been worse overall, obviously.
I mean, I agree with the sentiment that it's like, yeah, if Rika had a crappy Digimon with her personality, like, it would not have been fun at all.
I'm intrigued by this, like, because, like, does Rika need a stoic badass Digimon in order to be badass herself? Like, how would that dynamic have worked? I mean,
I think it would have made Rika be more cruel than she already was. Yeah. And then made it like unsympathetic,
or like would have, like, if the gap between the two, like, have, if she had like a really lovable not stoic character, not stoic Digimon, and like there would have been a bigger gap between their personalities, which then would have had to, like, Rika would have had to change more to have their bond grow. Like, I feel like she would have had to become much more lovey-dovey.
Like, in the way that we don't like how she turns a little towards Ryo, like, I feel like it would either have to be, like, she keeps her personality but seems really cruel, or she, like, totally 180s, and then you're like, no, she just became, like, some weird girly girl. Like,
yeah. Andrew's comment was, somehow Rika and Daramon would become Rosemon because this is a Digimon. Somewhere in an alternate universe, we're all screaming. Which, yeah.
Also true. Also, I enjoy that Jeff asked these questions of Asher and Andrew in a thread that was like, how do you feel about our new tri-commission?
Spoilers!
Good, you guys!
By the way, I have learned recently that I am terrible at voice impressions. Like, the absolute worst. If you listen to the Shonen Jump podcast, you know that, and it's terrible. They frequently ask me to, like, do someone else's voice, and I'm just like, let me try this, and it just comes out like the worst sounding thing ever. I've like considered taking like improv classes or like voice acting lessons or something just so I can like do that better. I feel like it would be a better entertainer if we could improv better or voice act better. Anyway, back to Digimon.
A.R. Pulver points out, did she really pick any of them? She sort of gave one qualifier and Renamon said dibs.
That's true.
I mean, there were really, like, out of the Digimon that were there, weren't there ones that it's like, yeah, you would have been way more powerful?
I guess so. They would have just been champions. Renamon was powerful to her soul. We need to move on, though.
Jeff is dancing, is when you know.
Our cat is dancing, too, but no, when he dances, he's really just licking himself.
He's licking his paw and like trying to rip out his nail.
So now we only have like a minute or two, but let's do a quick recommendation articulation.
Oh, my God.
I am going to recommend... The problem I have with recommendations now is like, I want Ash to be influenced by recommendations, and since he doesn't listen to the podcast, I like save the good ones for when he's on the podcast.
Oh, God.
Because I'm like, oh, no, I need to like convince him to read or watch this thing. So I don't want to use, like, some of these recommendations I don't want to use up because they're so great, and some of them are actually accessible for like Ash because they're not super long series or whatever. And the thing I think I want to recommend, because we just saw it, is Hidden Figures. We like just got back from the movie theater, and it was really great.
I'll just back Jeff's recommendation.
We'll just have a unified recommendation today. Can you describe what it's about?
It is about three Black women mathematicians
in the
who
60s?
Worked in the 60s, before the Civil Rights Movement, like early 60s, who work at NASA.
As computers. All computers. One of them was
an engineer.
Or wanted to be an engineer. But I think she was a computer doing engineering things.
Sure.
in case you aren't aware, like, the term computer was used to describe women who did calculations before, you know, household or personal computers were.
Yeah. I didn't really know that, but I was like, I'm going to go with it. Movie told me so.
I knew that because when I was in... Oh, it was actually between 7th and 8th grade, so it was right when Frontier ended. I really wanted a computer really desperately, and I always begged one for my dad. And at the end of a summer program I did where I was studying computers, he was like, I bought you a new computer, and handed me a pencil. And then
your dad knew it. I could totally see your dad doing
that. I mean, I can't complain too much because then, like, a couple months later, he did actually buy me a new computer. So, like,
I thought you were going to be like, he brought a woman to you.
Oh, no. Anyway, Hidden Figures was really great. It's clearly Oscar bait. Like, it came out in Oscar season. It is very much a, like,
it's up for Best Picture against La La Land or whatever.
Going into it, like, forgot that its premise was about math. And I was like, oh, math! There's math everywhere.
Yeah, Jeff got excited by math. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, there are numbers.
You don't need to know or follow the numbers to appreciate it. It's just a really well-told movie, and it really earns emotion well.
It did. There were multiple moments where you could hear people sniffling, and I was all, like, teary, and I was like, we're all crying together about what America could be, but it isn't right now because America sucks.
We only have 45 seconds left in the live stream, so I think we need to cut it here for the live people and then go into the outro once it's cut off.
Okay. I hope you had some fun hearing.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
About whatever.
I wasn't able to read comments that much.
Go watch Cyborg 009 and discuss it with me.
Actually, it's your plug for 403, not for this one. Spoilers.
Spoilers. My plug is always Cyborg 009. Okay. And Kill a Kill.
Bye, everyone in the chat. Thanks for hanging out with us, and hope you join us next time. We might. I don't know what we're doing for the next one. When the next one is scheduled is actually while I'm in Japan. So
that's not going to work.
Well, it might work. I can talk about Digimon and try stuff there.
Would you do it with me?
Yeah, we could do it. Because the same way we could talk to Ash and Andrew, if they were available at these times, I could Skype you from Japan.
Okay.
Maybe.
Would I have to figure that out? What? Would I have to figure it out?
I don't know. It would be hard to work out time-wise, because I'm going to be busy there. I'm going to a conference and working most days. And I want to spend my free time actually exploring Japan, like the little bit of free time I will have. So, yeah. But I think the concept of, like, having a live episode from Japan would be really cool, because people can, like, ask questions about stuff. And also we'll be, like, we were there during Adventure. But anyway, being there again during the time that tries in theaters is cool. So hopefully... Yeah. That
I mean, we were there during Adventure, but also with a person who didn't care about Digimon.
Right. And then we went back with two people who didn't care about Digimon.
Yep. And one of them was a brat about it.
Yeah, which Johnny G.
Would be on our podcast. Johnny G.
Calling you out. Just call out culture in action.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess now we're cut off in the chat.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're alone. Just the two of us. Intimate recording. Two of us is going to go live to everyone else later, though. And now... You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigis.com/402.5. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, like how Jeff has amnesia and can't remember what we talked about in an episode ever.
What is a filler?
Oh, yeah. I'm worried people will hate me for that. Because I think
Because you're wrong. You know you're wrong.
I just think Digimon is, like, fundamentally more... Like, its concept is more filler-y than... shows that people usually describe that term. Anyway, let me know how wrong I am. You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, Digimon subreddit thread for this episode, or by watching a bunch of filler episodes. Just send us a message. Just like watch filler episodes. We'll go hear it. Like,
yeah.
We'll feel it in the
crunchy Identify rolls. All of the Digimon filler episodes.
We'll feel it in the crunchy rolls. We'll feel it in the airwaves. Like, I feel filler. I did not update the stock.
No.
Our new Agumon artwork is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt.
Wow, nice. Podigis is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our awesome champion Patrimon, Diab Jomon, who is at Tokojo on Twitter, Joe Keto, Kai Lunamon, Kaiserwashi, Michael, Stevie Patamon from the podcast, The Moncast, which is about Pokemon and Digimon. We know that's what everybody's really wanted in life, to be honest. And Red, from fellow Digimon podcast, Breakfast with Digimon. Our ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon and Marcus. And our mega Patrimon, Sam Priwagamon, who is also on the Mugcat. I said it right, but then I... Whatever. Also on the Moncast with Stevie. And he would like to plug his partner's Tumblr, which is purple-pixel.tumblr.com, where you can get Animal Crossing drawings, which are probably really cute because animals are cute. I have not played Animal Crossing. I'm sorry.
I hope people appreciate how messy the live streams are, the live episodes.
Yeah.
I hope you appreciate how awkward it is whenever I try to use transition music. I'm just like, and now a thing.
And now I press the button.
It's a shame because I really pride myself on how natural the transitions feel in normal episodes. And then for these, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like. Yes. I need to fix that for later. Okay. If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can join a private group chat on Slack. You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scenes notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15, and a monthly Skype hangout with Jeff and Ashley for $25 a month. Oh yeah, and tomorrow we're going to do our first...
Tomorrow we're doing our first commentary track.
Yeah.
And it's about Attack on Titan episodes 1 through 5?
Yeah, we're going to try to do 1 through 5, because the new season of Attack on Titan is airing in a couple of months. Next month? Wait, is it March? No, it's February. No. It's February now. It's going to be March. I'm already in like 2 weeks from now mindset. Cool. But yeah, people are going to be, even if you haven't seen the first season of Attack on Titan, people are going to be talking about the next season because the first season was like a huge deal for anime. And hopefully people haven't forgot about it. Hopefully people are still going to be talking about season 2. So you might be getting a lot of pressure to watch it. So, you know, watch it and listen to our commentary tracks. It should be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's me. You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. Yes. I don't know why I paused here. yeah, you need to get updated on live recordings because we never start on time. Yeah. Because time is so hard. Time is hard. Because
time is relative and quantum mechanics.
It's basically Jeff's fault. I blame Jeff.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's only taking me 30 minutes to prepare the notes for this. Oh, it took me 2 hours. Oh
okay. We might also stream games again if we ever find time in our lives.
Yeah, we probably won't have time until I come back from Japan. But we're holding off on playing Next Order until we stream it. We want to stream all of it and not stream stuff from it. So, and I'm excited to see more of it.
I was really excited to start Cyber Sleuth over again and stream it, and then I've had, like, literally no time.
Yeah, when we say we have no time, it's, like, literally, like, I've tried to schedule out working on the podcast production, and it's, like, I had like 30 minutes of free time for this whole weekend, and I lost it by sleeping in 2 hours more than I should have, sleeping for like 6 hours instead of four.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. You can find me on Twitter at AshMcD00. Jeff!
I'm also on Twitter as AshMcD00.
No, you're not.
Hear all my rants about girl codding things. And
hey!
And I don't know what else you tweet about. I get notified every time you tweet and I can't think of anything.
I can't.
I am Jeffinly Jeff on Twitter. Considering changing my name to The Jeffinition, but...
Really?
No, I'm not actually.
No.
But share the podcast with your friends who are able to think on the fly and put in...
Share the podcast with Asher because he doesn't listen.
Share the podcast with your friends who are Asher because Asher is usually the one who comes up with this part of the doc and...
Because Asher should be who you would aspire to be in life.
Okay, yeah, let's all... You should all be rabbis.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
Join us in a couple of days as we cover Duskwan's introduction and the Sakakumon arc with Frontier episodes 20 through 29, at the end of this week for a quick reaction to Tri Chapter 4, and next week for a full Tri Chapter 4 review. Bye. And remember, never stop digivolving.